Welcome to True Crime Sucks, a podcast about the best and worst of true crime TV and documentaries. With your host, Adam Todd Brown.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to True Crime Sucks, a podcast about the best and worst of true crime TV and documentaries. I am your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host this week, I got two of them. Double the co-host, Jessica Singer and Jen Scott, my Trend Pony co-hosts, are here.
Yeah!
Hello. Hell yeah!
We are! Damn straight!
What? It's a true crime that we're here!
Oh, what? I don't get that.
No, it's a not. It's a true fact.
It's
though.
A not!
It's a not. It's actually a not. It's fine and good that we are here. Hello. Hi.
Hello.
It's truly a crime.
Clickety-clack, clickety-clack.
Wrong pod, Adam.
Oh, damn
yeah,
it.
I don't
no
know how to
noises?
Not be hyped. I don't know how to not be hyped and make horse noises at the beginning of a podcast. I loved this documentary. What a guy.
Yeah, this is a fun documentary. My wife actually recommended it. I don't know that I would have watched it on my own. The title's not great. It's just called The Jewel Thief.
The title's not accurate.
Also,
yeah, it's not.
It should be like Spoiler? The sneakiest guy.
Mr. Plan.
Yeah, this guy was a thinker. I mean,
yeah, I heart air vents.
He like sees the Matrix.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The guy's name is Gerald Daniel Blanchard, but it seems like people just call him Dan. He is a criminal mastermind, literally, like quite literally. This guy is real good at stealing. Anyone ever stolen? Anyone ever shoplift?
I steal so much. I steal so much.
Yeah, I don't steal now, but in high school, I, for a while there, made a decent amount of money stealing CDs and reselling them at school.
Oh,
like
really?
I would take orders and hit the mall and steal like 15 to 20 CDs at a time.
Yeah, it seems like the mall was like a playground for stealing.
Yeah, and the way
it was like a sport.
Yeah, the way the record store at the mall where I grew up was set up, they had these racks that were like, you know, about five and a half feet high. And then you stood there and looked at what you wanted, and the cashier was over there. So if you just ducked down, the cashier couldn't see shit that you were doing.
Yeah, or if you were me, if you were just standing, they couldn't see anything.
Yeah. So it was pretty easy. They eventually caught on, and I had to stop.
I knew, like, a couple people that did that CD grift. It's a good one.
Hey.
The girls at my school in junior high were, like, so bored of stealing from Claire's that it, like, became a sport with rules. Like, you couldn't steal anything you actually wanted. You had to steal stuff you didn't want and bring it to recess so we could bury it.
That's so wasteful.
I know. And I wonder if it's still there.
Probably.
Probably.
Hundreds of years from now, archaeologists are going to be like, what the fuck was happening at this school?
The worst jewelry from Claire's.
Yeah. Shoplifting, to me, feels like almost the definition of a victimless crime. Like, stores, for the most part, have a budget built in for shoplifting. Like, they know it's going to happen. Maybe not to the degree that this guy was shoplifting. Like, it was pretty intense, but for the most part.
How, in the beginning, it goes, like, back and forth between him and his mom a little bit, and he was like, we were so poor, I had to steal milk. And she's like, no, he didn't. Do you think he, how poor do you think they were? Do you think he was stealing for fun, or do you think it was like necessity when he was a kid?
Probably a combination of both.
Yeah, probably. I was just curious.
I agree with that because I feel like my parents would say the same kind of thing. And it's not that we couldn't afford milk. It's that they weren't paying attention to do that. Like, a lot of the time it's like, yeah, we didn't have a lot of money, but also it wasn't like no money. It was like they were bad at being a parent. And so I feel like they would say something similar, like, we weren't that poor. And it's like, yeah, because you were off doing whatever the fuck.
Yeah that's probably what it is. Because you're not paying attention to your kid if they're getting away with doing all of this shit.
Exactly.
And so he talks about how as a kid, he lived in Canada for a while, and he and the family were pretty well off. But then there's a divorce and he ends up moving to Omaha. And he says Omaha was one of the worst places to live. Only the strong survive. Here's the thing. I wasn't in Omaha in the 80s, but it's a lovely place. Like, it's, I'm sure it has its rough neighborhoods like any, you know, medium-sized city does, but Omaha's pretty nice. Don't get the wrong idea.
Yeah, I was like, it seems like you're seeking it out, but all right.
Yeah, you don't think Nebraska and think, ooh, what a hard life.
Right. People do underestimate the gang issue in the Midwest.
Yes.
Like, it's arguably worse there. Like, in LA, a lot of the gang stuff is kind of centralized to one area. Where I grew up, it's just everywhere because the gangster disciples and the vice lords and the Latin kings all started in Chicago, and just especially in the 80s when crack became a thing, just started branching out all throughout the Midwest. And it's
and so they're like deeply entrenched in the suburbs. There's like super violence in places that you wouldn't expect. Yeah, gangs in the Midwest are really intense. I have not experienced anything like that here, but I don't know. And I've also, you know what? I don't not know. I've spent a lot of time in a lot of different neighborhoods from when I was working in the cannabis industry doing different brand stuff. And I went to like a dispensary and anywhere. Like, I've been to most dispensaries and I haven't experienced gang stuff like how I did in the Midwest ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So even that is probably a mix of not true and true when he says that. It does seem like he lived in an area of Omaha that did have gang issues. But
if all you're doing is stealing, you're inviting that into like what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
but also it seems like he took to it pretty well. He got along with everyone. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't seem like a kid that people hated. It seems like he, you know, made friends.
One of my first boyfriends in junior high, I broke up with because he stole something for me from Hot Topic and told me. And I was like, just don't tell me you stole it. That was stupid.
Yeah. 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 Why not say you paid for it?
Why not
just
be like,
say
I got
nothing?
You this. Yeah. Just be like, here.
Here's a present. This.
Yeah, I was like, don't tell people you stole. You're going to get caught. I don't want to date you.
There was a girl in middle school who would straight up, she would steal a lot of like jeans and like Hollister and Abercrombie and stuff. And would just like leave those tags on that you can't get off. You know, the like, see, like they would just be on.
Or
she would just,
her.
Or she would just like cut around them and you would like see the like hole in the pants.
I still want to do a bit where I make a dress out of those security tags and go walk around the mall and like just fucking set off everything all day.
Yeah, I remember Belle Biv DeVoe at one point tried to make that like a fashion thing. They were like wearing those security tags on their clothes. I wish that took off.
Well, I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe it just wasn't the right time and now it will. God.
Don't they get all explodey now? And like. Yeah. Shoot dye all over it. Fuck it. What color is that dye? Put on shoes
black.
That match that dye. Bang.
It's just black, I think. Might be blue.
It's blue in banks, right? That's what they always show.
Yeah.
The bag of money.
I drove past a bank once after it had just been robbed and one of those dye packs exploded and there was just like pink tinted money just blowing around in the wind. And it's like,
is that money just useless now?
Yeah, you try to spend that, you're basically an accessory to.
I am certain you can wash it.
I don't think you can.
Maybe.
Okay.
We should ask
unwashable
this guy. He would
ink.
Know. Yeah.
ChatGPT will know too.
Yeah. Dan Blanchard would know.
He would.
So, yeah, I don't know how poor he was. It seems, I guess it all hinges on, did he buy that video camera he used to document?
No way.
Oh, no, he for sure stole it.
Then he's probably pretty poor. Poor people didn't have video cameras. Not at that point.
I mean, yeah, but I don't feel like that is like the deciding factor because he could have just stolen it or like a family member bought it for him or something. I also like that this part of the documentary is everyone in his life being like, yeah, it was kind of annoying how good he was at crime immediately.
It seemed like people loved it.
Yeah. Well, no, like people like his family, like his mom was kind of like, yeah, he was really good at it. Okay. It was super annoying for me.
The way that he would just like do it in front of girls to impress them, like the cigarettes that he just like.
My pussy's so wet because you stole a carton of cigarettes.
It was three cartons of cigarettes, Jen.
Yeah, yeah, that would do it to me too.
The fact that he just tried to gaslight light the girl too. No, you just put him back.
It is absolutely one of the most brazen crimes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's wild. It was really,
you put them back. No, you didn't. No, I didn't.
That's one of the interesting things about this. He documents everything. Like, everything he did crime-wise, he recorded, which, I'm going to be honest, that wasn't the right choice. It makes for a great documentary. Great creative choice. But as far as criming, not the right move.
Well, I feel like that's what, like, a lot of career crimers do, because they're obsessed with how good they are at it, like how serial killers keep a bunch of shit and all that stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love that there's, I think my other favorite crime in this is the one where he steals money from that metal box while the security guard is, like, right there.
Right there.
Like, feet away. It's so great.
It's wild.
Also, can we talk about the abs on this kid?
Bro! That was just after prison, though. He got the abs
so
in prison.
Skinny too.
Yeah, no, there was a picture of him as a younger child, and even then, he
really.
Yeah, it looked photoshopped. It looked like he worked out.
Yeah, he looked like it was just a scary bumpy bump ab. You know, like
he also looked so different. Like,
dude, this guy looked so different from every angle.
Yes,
I hope that if I was that, someone would tell me that.
And, like, the version of him being interviewed,
you know
he looks
I mean?
Like, yes. Yeah. Like, the version of him being interviewed, he looks like the guy from Succession, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a little bit. The, like, wormy guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. But
I've never watched Succession, but I've seen enough memes to know who you're talking about.
Yeah. But then as a kid, he looked completely different. I think it was that mustache. He had Dahmer vibes. Mm-hmm. To his face as a kid. It was those glasses, that mustache. He looked kind of, he was kind of a creep. But I think that's just how people looked back then.
I think that was just the vibe. I think that he probably looked cool as fuck for the era.
I don't know if he was cool. They talked about how much of a nerd. They were like, he had a speech impediment. He was a nerd.
No, but I think he like kind of owned it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got some charisma. Which is weird.
Riz King out of nowhere.
But doesn't it also seem like he like lost it a little bit?
Yes. Because he's like a fucking nerd now.
Yeah, he's a little off-putting now. Like he's legitimately kind of scary.
Yeah. Well, I think that he was trying really hard to watch what he said.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he was being very calculated with his words, which will really kill the Riz.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Because I like when they were talking about the wiretappings on the phones, I was like, oh, this guy used to have a totally different cadence to how he talked. What the fuck? Because he just talked super casually on the phone, even when he was trying not to say stuff to them, because he was still just more being himself because he knew what he couldn't say on the phone. But with this, it's too much to keep track of. So he like was speaking really slow.
He was really slow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And can we talk about Radio Shack?
Oh my God, that was wild.
Yeah, I miss Radio Shack. I know there's still some around, but it was the shit as a kid. I used to just walk in there and stare at turntables and dream of buying one and being a DJ. It's like that was similar to
Fry's, right? Where stuff was just kind of like out.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that had to be like kind of the appeal for him. Like, Radio Shack would just like have their shit sitting in boxes for you to take up to the register. And he said he shoplifted basically an entire Radio Shack store in one day, which at that point, is that still shoplifting? That sounds more like
that's just
burglary.
A heist too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a heist or like grand theft or some shit.
Yeah. That is a step above shoplifting. And you know, that's the case because a SWAT team kicked his mom's door in after he did that. And he ended up going to jail for 3 months. I love the scene where she's talking about how the police tore her place up. And she goes, they even pulled out underwear drawers. What kind of electronics would a woman have in her underwear drawer?
And then she's like,
lady.
I was like, oh, are you doing bits, honey? Are we doing jokes?
She's got bits. She had that ready.
It
felt
like telling
that story for years. So she happened upon it one time. In a lazy version of the story. And
I bet
then
someone
was like,
else pointed
oh,
out
this
the
is
joke.
In.
Yeah.
That stays in. Why we just think that he wanted to flip everything from the Radio Shack? Like, at the time, most of that shit was really high ticket items. Like, why not just like he starts to get greedy here is where I feel.
Yeah. Well, also he claims his probation officer when he got out of jail was like, hey, can you get me some stuff from Radio
Shack? Yeah, that was wild.
Which at that point, that is almost like a ticket to commit crime without consequences, because anything you do, they're going to report you back to your probation officer, and you get in his office and he's like, don't worry. As long as you brought me that fucking Betamax VCR, we're going to be fine. I like the part where he stole cash register parts and used them to fabricate receipts for everything he stole.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the kind of dedication most criminals don't have.
Then didn't he just start making receipts for stuff he like didn't even, I don't know, it was wild.
Yeah, I think he would make the receipts and then go steal the stuff.
Yeah. And then return it and get the money back.
Right. And it seemed like go all around the country and do this.
This was my favorite grift. I think that this one was the smartest, the printing receipts.
Yeah, it's almost a perfect
I would just
crime.
Do that shit forever. I would just do that shit forever. Like,
yeah,
for real?
The fact that he kept thinking he had to go bigger is like really where he fucked
up.
Yeah,
like you are printing receipts. You're good. This is a perfect grift. It's so small and it has such big return, you know? Like they said that he was leaving malls with like fucking thousands of dollars. This is where you can just do this for a while and then exist and do whatever you want to do. Fuck you.
Yeah, he definitely gets very greedy as things progress, which that's usually the downfall of criminals like him. But at one point as a teen, he had like $100,000 saved up. He bought a house at the age of 16. That is bananas.
That's so cool.
I have a friend in South Dakota who bought and paid off a house in his 20s. And to this day, I'm like, how? Like, how? Who are you?
He printed receipts.
How the fuck? He printed receipts.
Yeah, he had a deed showing he owned it already. It was crazy.
Wild.
He was also good at, back to Dan Blanchard, not my friend in South Dakota. I bet my friend in South Dakota would suck at evading police. But Dan Blanchard, great at it. He, at one point, is called in for questioning because he set a friend's car on fire for insurance money. And at one point, when he's in the interrogation room, he hides in the ceiling. Like, everyone leaves the interrogation room and leaves him in there by himself. They must not have had surveillance cameras in there because he just climbs into the ceiling and waits for everyone to first go out and start looking for him and then give up and go home. And then he just comes down and like ransacks the police station and then just goes to his mom's house.
And doesn't he steal police stuff on his way out?
He steals
bro,
police
this
stuff.
This was the funniest shit in the world to me, this part. I was this guy fucks.
Didn't he steal? He stole one of the cops' badge and gun.
Yeah.
Guys, he stole a badge. He like stole a bunch of stuff off his desk. And then
like a bag of stuff.
He took a bullet out of his gun, drew a smiley face on it, and left it on his desk.
That's right.
When I was like, okay, that. Like, if I was the cop, I would be like, this motherfucker is smarter than me.
Yeah.
Like, I lose. Like, you dunked on me so hard. Okay.
Also, did we all know police stations close? Because I didn't.
I did not. I thought they were open all the time.
Yeah.
I think
don't
they
you
might
always
be now.
Need an emergency service? Isn't that the point of emergency?
What do? You just call a cop at home in bed? He's going to be all pissed that he has to come break up your home invasion? Yeah. Can it wait till 6 when my alarm goes off?
clothes and then they're just in cars? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Because there gotta be police somewhere.
I see police cars at night. Cops. Where are they going after?
Clothes and then they're just in cars.
Yeah. People don't know that. Cops,
I think that's a legit
car.
Question.
It is because they don't close, I feel like.
I didn't think they did, but this one does.
Sorry. No emergencies. We're closed.
No murder allowed. We're closed. Oh.
But then he makes the mistake of going directly to his mom's house after he does all that. And course, the police show up. And one of his friends is interviewed about this moment where he goes to his mom's house. And the friend is like, well, he got tired. That's his weakness. He needs rest. And it's like, man, that everyone needs rest. That is just a biological function.
That's
that
his weakness.
That's such a weird thing to say.
He needs rest, addicted to oxygen. Like, needs it constantly.
Needs
like
to eat every once in a while.
Water. This
all
guy fucking
things.
Breathes, and when he cannot, you do not want to talk to him. Don't talk to me until I've had my air.
Oh, what a weird thing to include. Like, of all the quotes they could have pulled.
There was a lot of weird ones.
Yeah. People really
like
this
I felt like a
guy.
Lot of times they were trying to distract from the fact that he was committing crimes. And so they'd just say something confusing.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And then you're like, wait, what just happened?
I also like his second escape attempt. That was especially brazen. He gets arrested at his mom's house and they're taking him back to the police station. And one of the detectives is like, hey, be careful with this guy. Like, he's elusive. And this cop driving him back is like, okay, it's fine. He's handcuffed in the back seat. No problem. And when they get back to the police station, Dan Blanchard knew that their procedure was to leave the keys in the car, lock their guns in these little boxes in the front of the car, and then just get out and hang out and chat for a bit. And when they did that, he jumped in the front seat, managed to get his arms in front of him, but still handcuffed, and steals the fucking cop car and hits the cop with it in the process of escaping. I feel like he must not have hit him that hard because
I missed the part where he hit him. That's wild.
That's so much more serious of a crime. Like, that's assaulting a police officer.
Yeah.
So I feel like it must have just like
been a tap.
Yeah.
Well, and then he tries to cross state lines with it, right?
Yeah.
He crosses, other cop. And when the cop waves to him, because cops always wave to other cops, he fucking, with handcuffs on, waves back.
Incredible.
Yeah, that recreation is great.
There's only, three recreations, I feel like, and that's one of them.
Yeah, he just, drops what he's holding and stares at it when he drives past. It's really good. Yeah, he was... Omaha and Council Bluffs, Iowa are essentially the same city. It's like a Minneapolis-St. Paul kind of thing. So, yeah, he was crossing from Omaha into Council Bluffs.
Oh, okay.
Little geography tip for everybody.
I can visualize it perfectly now.
Yeah, it's like, I call it a border. There's a border.
Are there any other landmarks you can describe? So if I'm on my way, I don't get lost.
No.
Like, what do I see if I've gone too far?
Well, there's like a music venue in Council Bluffs. It's a big arena. If you see that, you're in Council Bluffs. Maybe check out a concert. There's a Hooters in the parking lot. It's great. It's great.
Oh,
it's great.
There's a Hooters in the parking
lot. Right. I'm on my way.
Love a Hooters.
Don't we?
On my fucking way,
the wings are
baby.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So... while the police are looking for Dan Blanchard, he's on the radio giving them incorrect directions because he's got access to a police radio. And I like that part a whole lot. But he does finally get caught and he's sent to prison for a while. That was 1993. Upon release, he gets deported back to Canada, Winnipeg, to be exact. Anyone ever been?
No.
It's gross. In Canada, he meets a guy named Aaron Seiberg, who seems like such a good friend. Such a good friend.
Is that the guy that's way younger than him?
Yeah. I think he was significantly younger. he was on camera wearing one of those floppity Elmer Fudd hats.
Yeah.
And you know, the people interviewing him were like, can we lose that hat? And he was like, no, we sure can't.
Yeah.
I loved the hat.
Yeah. It was a good choice. And he says at that point in history, they were making like 30 grand a day, stealing shit from malls and returning it. And yeah, like I would do that for like a month and like not do it the rest of the year.
I would do it once a month for 6 months.
Yeah. You could do so much more with your life. Like that's just so much financial freedom.
Yep.
And get
it. Fucking do it. Get out of there. Do it again. Get out of there.
But he eventually gets tired of doing that and progresses to robbing banks. But even then, it's not like what you picture when you hear someone robbed a bank. Like he's not running in and putting a shotgun in a grandma's face and telling her to get on the ground. He's robbing banks that are under construction, and he would case them like a serial killer, like follows their next victim. And he would just like learn about everything that happens at this bank. And the minute they put money in their ATMs, he would go in and fucking rob them. And he was making like hundreds of thousands of dollars every time he did this. And again, do it once a year.
Yeah, he was like staying at these nice hotels, like watching them build the bank. And I'm like, go to the pool.
Yeah.
Like, enjoy the hotel. Like, you have so much money and you're just spending that money trying to, I guess, just obsessed with making more money.
What do we think of Dan Blanchard's biological father?
Just like Dan, but dumber.
Silly.
Yeah.
Maybe the coolest.
Also, like, a slow reveal, because I don't feel like they say he's adopted in the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know if they did or not, because I definitely didn't have it in the notes. They might have, like, really quickly mentioned it.
I don't think they did.
Yeah, we do find out he was adopted.
And his biological father is like him, but with fighting?
Yeah, he is. He describes himself as being, like, Wolverine. It's like, whoa. What? So like you have adamantium claws that come out of your hands? Like, is that what you mean?
He's so proud of his thief son.
He really is. He's super proud of him. When he first started talking about Dan being born, he goes, well, my girlfriend was 15 and I was like, oh no. And then he goes, I was 17. I was like, oh, okay. I was worried he was going to be like, well, my girlfriend was 15. I was 32.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even worried about that. I should have been.
I was also.
Yeah, she ends up putting Dan up for adoption. And the mom who's interviewed in this is his adoptive mother. We never meet his biological mom, but I'm sure she's great at karate, too. Just like his dad. It's probably what they bonded over.
I loved that. I loved that guy's shirt, too.
What was it?
Shirt.
I don't remember.
It was so dumb. I don't even know how to describe it other than maybe flames.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Like a Guy Fieri shirt.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But like more Power of God and anime are on my side than that.
So in 2004, he pulls off one of his biggest crimes when he steals nearly $750,000 from 8 ATMs at a bank that was still under construction. This crime alone should be a fucking movie. Like, it seems so cool.
I loved this part.
Because he, again,
he's so smart.
Yeah, he was like, a lot of crime, it seems like, comes down to confidence. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things he did when he was planning this crime, he just went and bought an orange vest and a hard hat at Home Depot and showed up at this bank that was under construction and was like, yeah, I'm here to fucking work on the thing I'm here to work on. You keep doing your construction shit. And no one's going to ask any questions.
Construction people don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but they have nothing at stake, you know?
Yeah, and it's not their job to guard your facility when they're building it. Like, that's your job.
100%.
So, of course, if someone just comes walking in, they're going to be like, well, maybe they're supposed to be here. So he was able to just go in and out of this bank all the time when it was being built. And he figured out how to bypass all the security systems, except it seems like the alarms at the very last moment when he pulls the money out. Those alarms went off, but the way the ATM rooms were set up, the police showed up and just looked at the ATMs from the front and saw that there was no damage. So they just turned around and left. But had they gone in back where the ATMs are serviced, they would have seen shit was tore up and all the money was gone.
How do you not look at the back?
I know. That seems like a big oversight, even on the bank.
I feel like
part.
This movie isn't even about how smart this guy is. It's about how dumb cops are.
Yeah. And people who build banks, apparently. Yeah. The cops seem genuinely impressed by this guy.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's an impressive figure.
He is impressive, sure. But it's also how dumb they are. Like, they make so many little mistakes that make it so easy for him.
Yeah.
Yes, they just, like, aren't good at their jobs at
no,
all.
No, so they're bad at their jobs.
Yeah.
They start a task force to try and bring him down, Project Kite. And when he pulls this heist off, he does it with two accomplices, his cousin and some guy who is just referred to as John Doe. Mm-hmm. And that guy becomes really important later. And the way he did it was all really smart, except for the part where he rented a car from Avis as part of the crime and did it under his own name. And people reported seeing that car at the scene. So his name ends up being attached to this, but they still don't really know what he did or how he did it. And to get the police off his tail, he just calls in a tip and is like, hey, it was an inside job. It was someone who worked at the bank.
I love that. I thought that was so fucking funny.
It is funny.
And yeah, that does speak to how dumb these cops are, that shit worked. It's
and also
great.
That like technology was bad.
Yeah.
Because like that would not be effective now.
No.
They'd just be like, what number called us?
He's eventually arrested while trying to rob an ATM, and at the police station, he sees the room where Project Kite is operating out of and like sees his face on this board.
That's right.
And again, speaking of stupid cops, despite having a whole room dedicated to this guy, they do not realize that's who they have on their hands. And they just
Which, like, how
him.
Did he do that? How did he look that different?
I don't know.
Different angle.
Yeah.
He just like kept his head at a certain angle the whole night.
Just kidding. I don't know. I was just kidding.
He's just like, hello, everyone. My neck is totally like this.
My neck is totally like this.
And yeah, he gave him a fake name. So that was enough to outwit these Canadian cops. And he does point out that in Canada, the crimes he's committing are different. In the U.S., he'd be facing like hundreds of years in prison.
Yeah.
And in Canada, it's going to be maybe a few years in prison, which gives him all the confidence he needs to start firing off text messages to the cops who are investigating him. Just like there's somewhere he's in China stealing from ATMs and he's sending pictures to the cops while he's doing it. Very bold. I've never understood the desire to do that. Like, I kind of get it, but also I would rather just not get caught. Committing
yeah. People love feeling like they can get away with something is what I'm learning about a lot of people. Like, yeah. I
hate that feeling.
I think that it's inherently like a fun thing sometimes, but people get like addicted to that feeling where they're like, mm-hmm. I'm getting away with it. And it's like, ew. And I think it becomes like subconscious even.
And yeah, they even bring that up in the documentary where they imply that it at some point just became more about the adrenaline rush that comes mm-hmm. with getting away with shit as opposed to actually needing the money. And
yeah, because he doesn't need money. He's fucking set.
He's not only is he set, but at one point he married a rich woman. Like, he was set that way too. And that was way back in 1998.
Being so fucking bonkies about that. Like, just
what
like
do you mean?
The chasing the high and trying to get away with it. And like also the relationship with the rich woman. I completely forgot about her.
Oh, yeah. Ramona. She kind of becomes important.
Well, she's kind of what gives the documentary its title because they rewind to 1998 when he meets Ramona. They end up getting married. And again, her parents are super rich. So they end up going on this trip to Europe. And the dad ends up getting them a private tour of a castle in Austria where a really famous jewel called the Sissy Star is kept. And Dan Blanchard steals that motherfucker. And
I had never heard of it.
No.
For the record.
But people in that country, apparently, it's very, they all know about it. That's what they were saying. Like, if you're in, what was it, Norway?
Austria.
Austria.
Austria. Yeah. All the Austrians know about it.
And it was kind of ugly. But also, if you saw someone with like dozens of them in her hair, you'd be like, damn.
It would be cool. But like one of them.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that he just switched it out with a fake one from the fucking from the gift shop. And they didn't notice.
I was like mad. They didn't really say how he did it, though, huh?
No.
No, but he switched it out with one from the gift. I don't think they know.
Yeah, because it
had. Because he won't say, because even in the interview, he's like, well, I'd have to admit that I did it to say that, and I'm not. That's like the one thing he like really doesn't admit to.
He's like, because then I could get arrested in Austria.
Yeah.
Right. And what if he wants to go there and commit more crimes someday? He can't.
Exactly. What if he wants another jewel? Also, I was like, are you a jewel thief if you steal one fucking jewel, man?
That's a pretty big jewel to steal, though. I mean, actually, no.
Yeah, but he's more
small,
of a money thief or a
Like, he's more of a thief ass, like just a grifter ass dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would love to know how he did this because they said it had a pressure sensitive thing where if he picked it up, an alarm was supposed to go off and he was somehow able to just like
pick it up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is it just like a timing thing? Because like, what if you fuck that up? It's going to be
He's
bad.
He's good at timing things.
And like, he would have had to take the
disabled it somehow.
You think he disabled it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
that
he saw some sort of a mechanism on whatever the fuck it was that would disable it, or at least like compromise the system for a second.
Did you say they got a private tour where he got to see the jewel?
He said it was a private tour, but the video.
If it's a private tour, he could have like asked, like, "Wow, can you guys take it out and show it to us, and then watch everything they did when they had to take it out?"
Oh yeah, maybe. Yeah, who knows?
Just a thought.
But yeah, he not only stole it, but it took him like 3 weeks to realize that it had been stolen. And I swear I've heard a similar story about a baseball card that was owned by Charlie Sheen. There's a baseball card out there, Honus Wagner. He's like not that much of a player. He played like in the 1800s, early 1900s, some shit. But he's like the rarest baseball card in the world. Like they sell for millions of dollars if you can find one. And Charlie Sheen had one and it was hanging in a restaurant somewhere, like a Hard Rock Cafe or some shit. And someone did the same thing. They like replaced it with a replica and stole the real one. And it took a long time for them to figure out it had happened.
I mean, you shouldn't keep your nice things at a restaurant.
Nope. Sure shouldn't. Maybe it was Dan. Maybe Dan Blanchard stole it. Who knows? The reason he stole this was very smart. Like he didn't steal it. Like he's not going to be able to like take it on Pawn Stars or anything. Like it's not really a financial thing. He was like, I stole it as a bargaining chip. If I'm ever caught doing other crimes in the future, then I can use this as kind of a get out of jail free card. And that's what he ends up doing, basically.
Wild.
Smart. Very smart. But also that's where we see his dad doing martial arts. I love that little sidebar. Like he gets up and demonstrates and it's like seeing a really young kid run. And like they think they're going really fast and you're like, you're so slow and clumsy. Like this guy thinks he is delivering some crisp martial arts moves and he just looks geriatric as fuck. Like it looks like you could just push him over.
It's so funny. His little kicks.
Yeah.
His little squatty kicks.
Adorable. And so the next woman in Dan's life is Angela James. He and Ramona get divorced and he picks up with this Angela James girl who becomes his accomplice, sets up one of the wildest moments in this documentary. He's working with this guy now who's just called the boss. Like this is real movie shit.
Mm-hmm.
This guy called the boss. He's somewhere in England. He's got a British accent and he's sending Dan on all these crime missions all around the world. And one of them he's going to send Dan on is in Cairo. And Angela James wants to go, but she's like, what the fuck do I tell my mom? Like, how do I explain to my mom that we're going to Cairo? Like, she's going to wonder why. And he's like, well, put her on the phone. And he gets on the phone with Angela James' mom and is like, look, this guy called the boss is going to give us stacks of blank debit cards. And we're going to go around and withdraw money from ATMs. And we're all going to make a ton of cash. And her mom is like, well, is she going to be safe? And he's like, yeah. And the mom just lets her fucking go.
Crazy.
Which, I guess, if you want something, just ask. Like, bury that. Especially, like, I'm assuming Angela James' family wasn't rich. So they were probably, you know, looking forward to the kid coming home with a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
So they end up going on this trip with Angela and a guy named Balume, who everyone just calls Ken. And they're just withdrawing money from ATMs. Everything is going fine. And then Ken steals a bunch of money and a bunch of debit cards and flees to Africa to buy blood diamonds. Which,
like you do.
Yeah. Which, like, yeah. If that happened in a movie, you'd be like, okay, blood diamonds. And no, it happened for real. And the boss is not happy. And they let Angela go home, but Dan has to stay in Cairo. And they, like, I was surprised they were still letting him video all this stuff.
No, I, like, was confused at this point because I was like, where does the boss come in? Why do you need him? Like, he already is so good at coming up with crime. Again, I was just like, why get mixed up in other people's bullshit? You have so many of your own things that you do. Like,
I think this was like about an hour in and I was like, I need to pause and come back because I don't understand. And then I came back another day and I was like, oh, I still don't really understand.
Do we think that something that he did went wrong and then he ended up owing this guy money or something? Because
maybe,
like,
why is he getting involved with the boss? I just fully don't get it.
Yeah, I wonder how they even got in contact with each other.
I feel like he just was like kind of obsessed with being this criminal. Like, he just, like, from the beginning he was like, I'm gonna just pursue a life of crime, and so he just kept doing that. I don't know, but
yeah, your name has to
also get a fucking new phone, huh?
Yeah, his phone was kind of rickety. Maybe it was one.
No, I mean, he's got so many people, like, he's got, at this point he's being listened to for so long.
Yeah
I wonder. And but it seemed like he knew he was being listened to.
Right.
I feel like he liked it.
Get a new phone.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if he got a new phone, if they would just figure out a way to tap that too. I don't know. But so he eventually talks the boss into just letting him pull off another heist to pay back the money. And this part was a little confusing, but I think the heist he's talking about is the one where he steals from all those ATMs at the same time. I think that's why we backtracked, and then that's where things meet, is he's committing that huge heist in part to pay this guy back, which also we found out at one point he owed the boss $100,000.
He has that.
Yeah. It's like, give him his $100,000 and go home.
Yeah. Go rob two malls. What do you mean?
Yeah. I didn't get that at all. And he even says it on the phone. He's like, well, I'm thinking of just covering it myself. And it's like, yes, that's
just
the answer.
That.
Just do that. Like, that would be so easy. But he doesn't. He instead says he's going to pull off this other job. There is a great moment. All of these phone calls are recorded because the police were tapping his phone. The boss calls him and he's like, hey, two of my men got arrested in Canada. I need you to find out why. Can you write this down? And he's like, I can't write anything down. I'm in an air duct.
That's right. Like,
took a phone call. In an air conditioning duct inside the bank he was going to rob. Again, movie shit.
Yeah, this has got to be a movie.
I would hope. I think he said there was a movie that, like,
oh,
was
that's
in
right.
The
it
work.
Got shelved. It was going to be Zac Efron was going to play him.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess from an abs standpoint, that makes sense.
Zac Efron, I mean, with his previous face could do it. With his new face, I don't know.
Yeah, he'd just have to grow a little stash, put on some dad glasses.
Yeah.
Be fine. So, yeah, the police use this phone call to figure out where he's at, because that's the thing with robbing banks that are under construction. There's only going to be so many at one time, and they are able to trace that call to a cell phone tower, and they're like, well, there's one bank under construction in that vicinity, so we know where he's at. Also, at this time, though, they claim he started getting into trafficking guns, which, why?
That seems so dumb.
Doesn't seem like his bag.
No, but it seems like he did do it, but just his claim is that it wasn't technically illegal. He was just like middlemanning a gun transaction.
Which again, like why?
Yeah, don't get into guns, dude. We're all on your side. Don't sell guns. And eventually the police arrest him and all of his associates. The guy they called John Doe made a deal with police and ratted on Dan. And Dan, on camera, says one day he'll have his day in street court. I think he'll be found in a field somewhere. And then he just smiles at the camera. And here's the thing. I believe him. I kind of believe that guy will get murdered someday.
John Doe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan has enough money to get that guy murdered for sure.
So clearly a cop. I mean, it's just so clearly a cop.
You think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me, but
yeah.
Yeah. Dan seems like the type who would have someone murdered for sure. Like it just seems like his business ethics, if nothing else.
He just like seems like he glorifies being a criminal so much that like, I don't think he would even care. He's like, yeah, fucking get out of here.
Yeah. Angela, so they interview some of his friends. Aaron Seiberg, solid, just does not talk, like does not say a word. Angela James, on the other hand, she breaks immediately. And she's like, I'm afraid of him. I'm sick of him. I never want to see him again. And it's like, okay. She also big time fucks up when she tells them that at one point she saw Dan climb into a mirror in his house and come back out with a bunch of money. So when the police raid his house, they break all his mirrors, just ignoring all of the bad luck implications there. And behind one of them, they find a room that is just full of video recordings of him committing crimes, evidence from those crimes.
He documented everything.
Yeah, he kept track of everything. And it's all in this one room that they probably wouldn't have found if Angela James didn't mention it. But
what a rat.
But at the same time, don't keep a room full of documented evidence of your lifetime of criminality.
Mm-hmm. No, that's getting too bold. It's too bold.
Yeah. And so on account of that, he was facing like 164 years in prison, I think they said. And that's when the sissy star comes back up. While the cops are talking to him, he's like, all right, what if I pay full restitution? And I get a lesser prison sentence, and I'll give you a big, big prize. And it's the sissy star. He's like, I know where it is. I can take you to it, and you can solve that crime, and I'll get a lesser sentence. And they go for it.
Yep.
One of the things I love, one of the conditions of his plea deal was that none of his accomplices received any jail time.
Yeah, that was nice. Aww. That was actually a nice thing.
Yeah. Like, either that or he doesn't want Angela James to be in prison because he wants someone to murder her on the streets.
Oh, my God.
Could be that, too. So he was released in 2012. Then he got arrested again in 2017.
So funny.
Do we think he's still doing crimes?
Yeah.
He's got to be, right? Like, he's going to be for the rest of his life.
If There's he's no alive, way. He's criming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely. I would say definitely crime.
Yeah.
Definitely crime.
He's
like,
addicted.
He's got to be like a... He's got to be like a Michael Jordan type figure when it comes to crime now. Like, if you sign him to your crime team, you're winning some championships that year.
Didn't he get caught in 2017 from the first thing he got caught from in the beginning? Wasn't it the rental car was under one of his known aliases?
Yeah, he keeps doing that.
Like, he wants to get caught, too. Like, he literally made the same exact mistake.
I don't know why you wouldn't just steal a car. Like, that
hurts a person.
Yeah, I guess. But if you just leave it,
I'm just teasing, leave
it, they'll get it back. Take good care of it.
Yeah,
it's also kind of hard to steal cars now.
Yeah, that's true. Unless it's a Kia or a Hyundai.
I just said the one thing he pays for is renting cars.
So that's the Jewel Thief. It's good. I think it's very entertaining.
I liked it a lot. Yeah. It was fun. And also, he does steal one jewel.
Yeah, he steals the sissy star.
And we don't learn how.
But
it was still really fun.
Yeah, very fun. Yeah, it is a weird title. It's not the best title. But he's an engaging character. And it should be a movie. I want to see that Zac Efron movie.
It's
going to
be a movie.
But until then, this documentary is as close as we get. But it's good. People should watch it.
It's good.
I recommend it.
And
I liked it.
mostly victimless crimes. Like when he was stealing money from ATMs, that's going to be a hassle. That's draining people's bank accounts and they're going to have to deal with that. But
I mean, I think the banks have to deal with it, right? I don't think the people really have to deal with it. And banks are definitely not people.
No. That's the thing. Like, and that is pointed out in this documentary. A lot of his victims were like corporate banks.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
his mom says that. His mom's like, well, he never stole from a person.
Fuck the banks.
Yeah. Fuck a bank.
Fuck the banks.
So that's our episode. We did it. Thank you both for doing the pod. Do we have anything to plug before we get out of here? People should listen to Trend Pony.
And, definitely. You should
follow this show on Instagram to find out what we're covering each week. We post it ahead of time. I forgot to do it last week, but hey, I'll remember this week. That is at True Crime Sucks on Instagram. What does everyone else have to plug?
Just follow me and go to my shows and watch my live streams and subscribe to my things and give me money.
Nice.
Jessica, how about you?
Worst Cooks in America premieres August 6th at 8 p.m. And I'm on it. And they just released the little Food Networks on the Food Network website, like Meet the Recruits. So we have all our little pictures and blurbs. And my biggest fear was not being referred to as a stand-up comedian. And the first line in my blurb is a stand-up comedian. So I'm very, 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 very happy about that.
Very nice.
Yeah, and all my live shows and stuff are at Jessica420Bro. Check it out.
And let's get out of here. Jessica, say goodbye.
Bye.
Jen, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.